311.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the 311 radio show here on VOB 92.9 FM. Trust you've been having a great Sunday so far, and you're probably filled, relaxing, or maybe getting ready to eat with the family, whatever you're doing. We say thank you for making it the 311 radio show here with the Barbados Fire Service. I'm Crystal J. Paul, and today we have Fire and Life Safety Inspectorate Supervisor Andrea Williams.
Good afternoon to everyone. Hope you're having a wonderful Sunday.
And Fire and Life Safety Officer Kevin Silvers.
Good afternoon, Barbados. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, all right. How are you doing? How are you both doing? You know, we have to ask this question every week, you know, because things are not as usual.
That is so true. We're doing wonderful for right now. The country has already is opened up at this time, partially opened. So we are here some days. So today is our day to be here.
Ah, yeah. Okay. There you go.
I'm doing much better. Haven't had my COVID-19 vaccination.
Yes.
I'm 100% normal, but I'm feeling good. No side effects and everything, so everything is A-okay.
Okay, side effects gone.
This is like almost, you see? Almost a week now. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. Good for you.
Concerned with the side effects. Nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. Go ahead and get your vaccination. Take it from me. Everything is good. Sweet, fine, and dandy like Molly.
Oh, dear. Okay. All right, all right, all right. My goodness. Okay, well, it is March. My goodness. March, and we are really marching on. It's not a corny phrase. But, you know, we thank God for bringing us so far. It's just about a year now since we've been on lockdown. And, since our first case, I should say. And, you know, we're thankful still for what has happened so far in terms of keeping us and God's mercy and so on. And it's also the time when we need to start preparing for the dry season. And you have some tips that you want to share on today's show. So go ahead.
Yes, of course. We just want to highlight and reiterate to the public of Barbados, you know, what y'all already know. You know, the Caribbean has two seasons, which is the dry and the wet, you know. And this season runs from December to May. This is the dry season, as you would call it, or the dry time, or in other words, the crop season. And the Barbados Fire Service, before that, we know that the Easter holiday will be soon here. And we know that you, the public, just love to clean your surroundings and your homes and declutter as well. And the Barbados Fire Service is appealing to the whole of Barbados. Please, please do not burn. Stop indiscriminate burning, whether it be rubbish, grass, or even sugar canes, because we've been getting calls for sugar canes fires as well. As we know, this is the crop time. Most of all of our children are at home. They'll be working from home. They'll be at school. And the island is partially opened, and some adults are also working from home as well due to the coronavirus. Some may have health challenges such as asthma and respiratory ailments, and they will be affected by these fires, of course. And it would be very inconsiderate to be lighting fires at this time. And I beg you, please be considerate to others.
Yes, that's right. Especially, you know, we've had a show or two before highlighting the fact that there are so many children who are asthmatic. And when they would have been in the school setting and people would have been burning indiscriminately, and there are some spots that are known of course you would know them, for having to just burn in indiscriminately, and the students would have been greatly affected, and schools would have had to be closed. And now the children are at home, and some live in those areas where the burning, you know, is still happening. So yes, we definitely want to make that appeal to those who would do this on an annual basis. Do you find that it's still happening as much as before?
I would say to some extent, yes. I mean, even though last year our statistics will say and reflect that we had approximately 200 graspers less than in 2019. Even though that is reflected on our statistics, we also know that there were areas where the graspers were higher in particular months than it would have been in the previous year, especially when there was the lockdown and the period of time when you have more persons being at home. Now, as she said, during the Easter period, you know you will find persons not really want to go and fly their kites or go sit and play. So the grass to tall, so let me burn it off so we got here to go and fly the kite.
Ah.
And then stumble across matches that the parents would, or someone would have left unattended, they want to go and play with them. You see some challenge on the internet or on social media where somebody playing with fire or playing with a spray can or something, and you decide, oh, let me go and try it, and then God forbid. So all these things you'll find happening during our busy season. And I know, yes, the dry season will normally run from December to May. However, in Barbados, our crop season we consider as from December until August into September. So the Barbados Fire Service, we normally have a large number of fires calls during that period. November and December when persons are home, baking, preparing for independence or Christmas or Old Year's, they want around the house looking clean and clear, so they put everything together and they burn. Then between January and August, I don't know what has happened then, but geez. Everybody decide, oh, let me find working fire service. We can burn everywhere. But and just like my colleague, and on behalf of all of my colleagues in Barbados Fire Service, please, not this year. COVID out there, so let me stay indoors. Let me protect each other. You help me, and I help you. So don't let us have to come to see you, or we have to come visit you or your area for emergency purposes. Let it be that we're coming to maybe to do some other service, but not this year, please.
Wow.
Avoid all the discreet burning and all the skylarking, or we won't board, or we ain't got nothing to do, so we can go and do a challenge. No, don't put yourself at risk. Don't put us at risk having to respond on the busy roads, or put our lives at risk having to come and fight these fires. So help us to help you.
Yes. I like the fact that you made a point about the kite flying, because I, you know, were on the road recently and did see a kite in the sky. And it's interesting that you're saying that people burn spots so that they can fly the kites. How about getting a weed whacker instead, people? I mean, that is so much better, so much safer. I mean, why would you... Let me not ask. But yeah, weed whack, you know, and not burn. And then you have to wait for that to die down anyway. And why would you do that? Or get a cutlass, get something else to cut the grass instead of having to do that. Or go somewhere else.
I issue to the public of Barbados a new challenge. Instead of burning, let me try a challenge of recording yourself using a weed whacker or a cutlass like in old-time days, do a old video. That's a new challenge I throw there. So instead of burning, be a cutlass, and we can use the weed whackers.
Exactly.
In terms of when you have certain events coming up, whether it be, let's say, car racing or motorsport or anything of the sort, you'll find too, the area where they're gonna hold the meat or the stage, for some reason somebody a week or so before will go and burn up the area so that when the day of the meet, the guys and police are gonna park the vehicles on the side of the road to watch the action. So there are key areas are certain times where you know, like, man, this is coming up. Mm-hmm. You get a fire in this area.
Wow.
Prove us wrong. Prove us wrong.
Yes, I guess we'll have to see too if these events will actually be taking place. But you know that they're trying to find some way to circumvent or something. Well, people, I suspect people will still be flying kites, but obviously not in large numbers or groups. And you know, you'll go with your immediate family to some spot or something. But of course, we want to encourage people, please stay away from power lines. You know, it's amazing how you'd hear stay away from power lines, yet you're driving through neighborhoods and you see kites stuck in power lines all the time. Kites and shoes and, you know, and this is dangerous. This, why, you know, just really, really want to discourage people from participating in these acts. Find somewhere where it's clear. Of course, you know, you're not supposed to go near the airport either, fly your kites near the airport either. And there are places within the designated times that we can actually be out. Thankfully, or hopefully, there will be no kite flying in the nighttime and people leaving their kites hung up in the sky, because people actually get mental issues from hearing the buzz of the kites, and that is also inconsiderate. So, you know, want to encourage people, if they're going to fly their kites, to be safe in doing so, away from power lines, and not be burning any bush to clear to fly your kites. So,
yeah, also to avoid flying your kites at night. Put it out in the morning and take it out in the evening, please. I beg you.
Exactly. Please don't leave it up there. Yeah. You know, we have so many calls on an annual basis every year of elderly who are being really seriously affected from the buzz of the kites in the nighttime. And I mean, a kite can be, you can't identify where it is in the nighttime, and that is really, really, that's terrible. So let's really not do that this year. I know we're going to focus on the elderly in just a minute, but I know, Officer Williams, you wanted to, I don't know if you have any more tips that you wanted to relay at this time as it comes to the dry season.
Not really. I just wanted to reiterate once again, please, no indiscriminate burning. You know, the rubbish, the sugar canes, especially now that this is the crop time, you know, we want our sugar to be the best it can be. Because, you know, when it burns, it becomes it is in a different state.
Yeah.
You know, so we want what is best for Barbados right now. And we want the production as well to be in excess.
Agreed.
Right. To add to that, in the dry season, having a large number of persons home, you know, we like to roast bare fruits. So I'm appealing to those who know that they like to roast bare fruits or who like to do a little outside cooking.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that. But please do it in an area where you know that it will not spread and cause a fire. If you have somewhere that have a cement slab or somewhere that has concrete that you can do that on, that will be the best or the most suitable place. But if it is that you realize the area that you're gonna do the roasting in, it has a lot of cracks in the ground or it's close to a grass field, please don't do it, because a lot of times the fire may burn through the cracks and then next thing you see it pop up and somewhere else starts to burn.
Yes.
So if it is where as possible, find somewhere that has a cement slab or someplace that has a concrete area, or build some contraption where you could have it elevated, where that is, whether it be a can or something, where that it would prevent the fire from spreading.
Yes, good point. And I also thought of the grass that you were talking about, that people would burn to clear. You can also just spray some Roundup on it. You know, give it a minute and then you can do what you need to do. So we have those challenges, Officer Sobers. Roundup, Meadwalker, Cutlass.
I said we're going to throw it right back because I don't know The last time I would have seen someone using a cutlass to cut grass, really. Other than that, those who probably have like a sickle.
A sickle.
I remember when I was young, I used to go say my grandfather, and just in front of it, to go and sickle to hold the grass and cut it. So that's the challenge I issued to Barbie, is go and get a sickle or a cutlass, and not a cutlass, a sickle or the, there's another name for it. But the sickle that you go and cut the grass. Record a video, put a straw hat, and record a nice little TikTok video and post it back to the
That's true.
Tag six or some of my friends. And that's now we have volunteers debushing Barbados and keeping Barbados clean.
That's good. That's good. Good stuff. Oh my. Well, yes. So we definitely want to encourage people with those tips for the dry season. And there's another area that we want to focus on today as it relates to the elderly. We would have touched on it a little earlier. And Officer Williams, I'm hand it over to you at this time for that.
Okay, we know that there are two types of persons who are most vulnerable. Those are the juniors, which are the really tiny ones, and we have the seniors. Maybe we can do this in two segments, but for right now we are dealing with the seniors, the elderly, or the young at heart. Why do seniors or the young at heart need that early warning signal? It's because they're older, you know, and they have an increased risk of dying in fires. Want to continue? So what we're trying to, our tips here are that they may not be able to move so quickly. You know, they're elderly. They might have, they might be up in age, 60-something, 70-something, 80-something. They might be using walkers. They might have problems with their legs and so on. So they won't be able to move so quickly to get out of a house fire, you know, or to get away from a house fire. Some seniors might have wrought iron bars at their windows or doors. And you know, these wrought iron bars are up there for so long, you know, they may be stuck in place, as you would say, you know, and if possible, I don't know if they'd be able to have keys placed in strategic areas or places in the home near the door, near the front door, near the bedroom door, just in case anything happens, they would have easy access to getting these keys to open the bars, just in case the other entries are blocked by fire, to get out of the through the window.
Yes.
I guess because we find there are too many cases where our instances where we respond to instances, and I mean, yes, we know you're looking out for your well-being by protecting yourself and those on the inside and keeping those on the outside who don't live there from coming in. That is the burglars. But you also have to look at it from the flip side. Keeping them out is also keeping you in. So in the event that emergency, how are you going to get out of that building? And these are things that we don't really consider at that point in time, because we only look at the number one priority of what the burglar bars is being instilled to do. Mm-hmm. But the second thing is, how is it going to prevent myself or my family from escaping in the event that we need to do so rapidly. And there have been many occasions where we've responded to fires and we've came upon persons who are trapped in a room because of burglar bars and can't get out. And then we have to, because obviously we're not gonna have the key for every burglar bar or for every household. And there are a lot of persons who install burglar bars without the option of them being able to swing open. So they don't have a key that they can unlock the lock and swing it open to escape. Some of them have them fixed to the wall or screwed in, and because of the amount of time that have passed, they're now seized in, or because they don't spring it down. So even if you have those ones with the spring, you should occasionally spring it down with the WD-40 or something to make sure that they're loose.
Okay.
swing it open, swing it back to make sure that it's working and it's good. But if it is that for those who don't have any and you're considering installing the burglar bars, please ensure that you do the ones that have the option where that they can be opened from the inside so that it does not prevent you and your family from escaping. And also to add to what my colleague Sabasso Williams would have said, in terms of the elderly persons, if you know that your parents or you have someone who's elderly who may live alone or at times may be left to care for themselves for a period of time while you may go work or go out, look into getting some small alarms. Mm. Install some small alarms in your home so that it can alert them early, and also build and develop a relationship with your neighbors so that in the event that you let them know if it is that they hear the alarm going off, whether it is that you're there or not, or the parents may live alone, if they hear the alarm, to kindly check in on the person, call the fire service or check to see if there's a fire or something so that you have to have a plan.
Right.
So ensure don't just involve those in your household, but in also involve those who live around you so that in the event that next, you know, myself and Williams, we live in the same house and we are both strong sleepers and the alarm hollering for blue murder and we can't hear nothing, at least the neighbors, if they hear it, they'll say, all right, something wrong.
Yes.
And you see, for the home as yet, we call the fire service, we go and knock at the window or something and let them know to see if you get them out. So involve your neighbors in your planning, not just for yourself, but for the same elderly persons who may live alone or who you know may be unattended at some point in time.
That's good. That's good. And that's very important. And, you know, even for those who may not be able to help themselves, some can and some cannot. But for those who are less able to help themselves and maybe would need somebody to lift them out of bed, you know, we need to have those plans in place as well. I know that it's not necessarily in every situation you'll be able to have somebody at home with that elderly person 24 hours a day. But at least, as you said, some kind of a plan and involve the neighbors. That's a good point, to involve the neighbors. Although, you know, some neighbors may not be talking to each other. But we need to reconcile our differences and get past that to what is even more important. Yeah. To what is even more important. Because you don't know, you may need your neighbor at some point in time.
Exactly. And as I said, sometimes you have to look at a bigger picture and realize sometimes the situation or what can happen is bigger than just what may be happening between the two of us.
Exactly.
So it's about being professional and courteous. And I also want to add to that as well, for those who are listening, I believe last I heard some of the same suppliers like Carb Supply and City Supply, they have specials going on right now where you can get an extinguisher, a small alarm, fire blanket at a discounted price. So for those who may be considering in terms of money wise or what they have to do with the money, you can get them even cheaper now at the discounted price. Just call and find out from the supplier in terms of if you wanted a small extinguisher, a small alarm stuff, what would the cost be and where it is. Because it's something that you can invest in that will not only save you from a lifetime of looking back and saying, if only I didn't do this or what if I didn't know.
Right, right. Wow, okay. So this, of course, we're talking about the elderly. This also would apply to the disabled, whatever age, and to ensure that a plan is in place. And we know that some of the very illnesses that would have normally in times past been affecting the elderly are, you know, people of all ages are susceptible these days. So we just need to ensure that we have this plan in place, because we just never know what will happen. Never know what will happen. And Officer Williams alluded to earlier, yes, the children are affected in other ways as well, and the plan should be in place for them. But yes, we could do that another time.
So what I was thinking when my colleague was talking, I appeal to those who are listening out there, please don't take offense to what I'm about to say, but you know, at times, persons who are more in the elderly category are what we refer to as the maybe set in their ways or strong-headed or stubborn. And so no matter what you say or what you ask them to do, you know how that goes. The saying goes home that you can take a cow to the water, but you can't do what? Can't make it drink. So what I'm saying is there are some early persons who the doctor may tell them, all right, you are at a stage of nowhere, you should not cook any more food or light the stove or light any more candles or that sort of stuff. And they say, all right, doctor, from time to get out, they look at you say, who the F they talking to? They must know. You think that they can let me start up in here? So you might have other person who are like that. You might have some who grew up with the habit of they want always to keep their house and their surroundings clean. So from time that a couple of leaves or stuff fall from the tree, you know they're gonna rip them up in a pile and they're gonna light it and they're gonna burn it off. There must be some who let's say the garbage truck may carry the garbage today and tomorrow morning they get up and they say wait, the garbage truck ain't come yet. Man, it's taking too long. I am going to burn the stuff the garbage that I carry out today. Even though the garbage truck may have come the day before, but in their time, they're out today, so they expect that the garbage truck will come today. And if it don't come today, tomorrow morning they get up, I can burn that stuff because I'm leaving that out today.
Right.
So if you know you have persons who are habitually stuck in their ways or maybe a little bit on the stubborn side, have that conversation with them. Let them know that the effect of what they're doing and how that it could cause a further grass fire or it could harm them. And long short, in terms of helping to desist or to not carry on with that habit. So that is something else which we must also look at. Persons who may be a little bit on the strong-headed side and may still want to do what they want to do. Trying to find ways to avoid them from doing that. To avoid looking the stove and stuff when they're not supposed to. Maybe arrange that you will tell them, like, grand or mums, I can bring food for you on a day or arrange that you get food so that you'll not have to light the stove.
Yeah.
And put that there for yourself, even if it means removing the gas bottle or carrying the stove to prevent them from doing that.
Well, the reality is too that not everybody can handle the reality of getting older. And it's not easy for somebody who's been strong and healthy and well all their lives to suddenly come to grips with the fact that they can't hold something as well anymore, or they're unable to light a stove, something as simple as lighting a stove or being able to cook a meal without hurting themselves. So that is definitely a process. And, you know, we just need to be caring and empathetic because, as I said today for me, what?
Tomorrow for you.
Exactly. So we just need to be empathetic and or even if we could say too, if you as a relative cannot handle talking with your parents, for instance, if you could get somebody else who the parent will trust, whose words they will listen to, because you know how it is, sometimes we don't listen to the people who are closest to us. We have to hear it from somebody else. And you know, to get somebody to talk to.
Right, it's not only what you say sometimes too, it's also how you say it.
So that's the right approach.
So in terms of you're not soft around the edges and you maybe come across a bit harsh, like my other colleague who's not here today, I want to call you. But if you know that you're not the smoothest of talker that you can reach out and have a conversation and help them to understand, then find someone who they may better associate with and listen to assist them in that process, because as you said, a lot of persons grew up being very independent and dependent on themselves and having to switch suddenly to having to now depend on someone or ask someone to assist them. It isn't the easiest thing to do.
That's right. Well, just like that, we're actually now over time. So I want to say thank you so much to you officers for your time today and for the wisdom you've imparted once again to our listeners. And thank you so much, Fire and Life Safety Officer Kevin Sobers.
Thank you very much.
And to Fire and Life Safety Inspectorate Supervisor Andrew Williams.
Thank you as well, too.
And I'm Krista J. Paul. Remember, you can always log on to VOB929.com to listen to the podcast. And you can head to VOB's Facebook page. We're going to be loading the video recordings that we do on a Thursday. And of course, we hear this program on a Sunday. I'm Krista J. Paul. God bless you. And as we always say,
prayer provision is our intention.
Depend on the Barbados Fire Service 311.